Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivajak Acharya Ashutosh Shatra Shri Srimati's Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivajak Acharya Ashutosh Shatra Shri Srimati's Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrind Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Purushottam Kshetra Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Shri Shri Kishor Kishori Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Jai Gaur Premanande. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Guru and Gauranga. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chayavam Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudire Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttam Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtaki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna So we are continuing our reading from Canto 8, Chapter 1, Text Number 12 today. The title of the chapter is The Manus, Administrators of the Universes. So, please repeat. Na yas yadi antau madhyam cha Na yas yadi antau madhyam cha Swaparo nantaram bahi Vishvasya muni yadyasmad Vishvam chatadritam mahat Na yashyadi antav madhyam cha Swaparo nantaram bahi Vishvashyamuni yadyasmad Vishvam chatadritam mahat Nayashyadiyantav madhyam cha स्वापरोनंतरं बहि विश्वास्य मुनि यद्यस्मान् विश्वं चातद्रितं महात् नायस्यादियन्ताव मध्यं च स्वापरो नंतरं बहि विश्वस्य मुनि यद्यस्मान् विश्वं चातद्रितं महात् नायस्यादियन्ताव मध्यं च स्वापरो नंतरं बहि विश्वास्य मुनि यद्यस्मान् विश्वं चातद्रितं महात् नायस्यादियन्ताव मध्यं च स्वापरोऽनन्तरं बहि विश्वस्य मुनि यद्यस्मान् विश्वं चातद्रितं महात् नायस्यादियन्ताव मध्यं च स्वापरोऽनन्तरं बहि विश्वस्य मुनि यद्यस्मान् विश्वं चातद्रितं महात् ना नीदर् यस्य ऑफ हूम द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड आदि बिगिनिंग अंतौ एंड मध्यम मिडल च ऑल्सो स्व ओन पर अदर्स ना नॉर अंतरम Inside, Bahihi, outside, Vishvasya, of the whole cosmic manifestation, Amuni, all such considerations, Yat, whose form, Yasmat, from He, who is the cause of everything, Vishwam, the whole universe, cha, and tat, all of them, ritam, truth, mahat, very, very great. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning, no end, and no middle. Nor does He belong to a particular person or nation. He has no inside or outside. The dualities found within this material world, such as beginning and end, mine and theirs, are all absent from the personality of the Supreme Lord. The universe which emanates from Him is another feature of the Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate truth, and He is complete in greatness. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described in Brahma Samhita as Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karan Karanam. Krishna, known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for He is the prime cause of all causes. For the Lord's existence, there is no cause, for He is the cause of everything. He is in everything. Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 4. He is expanded in everything, but He is not everything. He is Achintya Bheda Bheda, simultaneously one and different. That is explained in this universe. In the material condition, we have a conception of beginning, end, and middle. But for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are no such things. The universal cosmic manifestation is also the Virat Rupa that was shown to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, since the Lord is present everywhere and all the time, He is the absolute truth and the greatest. He is complete in greatness. God is great, and how He is great is explained here. Om Gyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chukshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vansha Kalpataru Vashya Kripa Sindhu Vayai Vacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So, in this particular chapter, in the beginning, we saw that there was a conversation taking place between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukdev Goswami. And Parikshit Maharaj, being a devotee of the Lord, wanted to hear from Shukdev Goswami about the pastimes which Lord performed in the past, he's performing in the present, and he's going to perform in the future. So it is only from a devotee and a learned person like Shukdev Goswami that one can get a true picture of what is going to happen in the future. Because most of the time we get to hear from people what happened in the past. You know, there may be different versions, but more or less, you know, in the past what happened, people are able to narrate that. What is happening today, we are able to see ourselves also, and we hear from others. But what is going to happen in the future, that is not very easy. To predict that, you really have to be a very, very special person. So here, the conversation is taking place between two such personalities. Then Shukdev Goswami, answering the question of Parikshit Maharaj, he refers to the Manus, who are the administrators or the kings of the universe. So we heard that there are 14 Manus in the life of Brahma, and we currently this is the period of seventh Manu, and we also know that this period can be really huge, beyond our conception, beyond our comprehension. So again, when we are continuing reading this shlokas, this text, we are discussing more about the inconceivable nature of the Lord. So in different scriptures we hear about that it is very difficult to conceive the true nature of the Lord, and this is what the Swayambhu Manu is explaining here. So what do we understand by the word inconceivable? So here it says, Prabhupada is explaining in the previous verses and also in the next few verses, that it is beyond our thinking jurisdiction, beyond our senses, beyond our conceptions. A material entity has a beginning and an end, and also a middle. But for the Lord, who is inconceivable, there is no beginning or no end. So for us to understand that there is something for which there is no beginning and no end, it really needs, we have to really try to understand how is it possible. So Prabhupada has helped us in different books of his, this particular aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first book which I read when I joined Krishna consciousness was Sri Ishopanishad. I think all of you are familiar with it. So in that also, this particular aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is discussed. As a matter of fact, what we have been reading in this particular chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam has a lot of similarities between what Sri Ishopanishad says. So I'm just going to read two translation of two mantras which are relevant exactly with what we are reading today. So here it says, although fixed in his abode, the personality of Godhead is swifter than the mind and can overcome all other running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him, although in one place he controls those who supply the air and rain. He surpassed all in excellence. And in the next text 5 says, the Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. So try to imagine, you know, when we really we sing every day, nursing their prayers, correct? Several times in a day we chant it. And we say, Bahir Narsimha, Hirdaya Narsimha, Bahir, he's inside as well as outside. So this is the nature of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, when I'm just going to focus only on this word, inconceivable, today, so that we try to understand what it means, and then we will talk a little bit how we can conceive the inconceivable, how we can make an attempt for that. So, like Srila Prabhupada says in many places, and Krishna himself says that he cannot be understood or conceived by philosophical speculations. So, that is ruled out. So that means what is his true nature then? So Srila Prabhupada explains that Supreme Personality of Godhead is knower of everything. He is the oldest and yet the youngest. We always say that Krishna doesn't get older than 16 years. So though he always existed, but he is never older than 16 years. He is Navyamana. So he is the controller of everything. He is smaller than the smallest. And he is a person, of course, and he is all-pervading. Now, there are so many contradictions when we read about the, you know, nature and characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there are two or three examples which we can discuss to understand this point. And one is about when we read about the pastimes of Krishna in Gokula, when he was at the palace of Nand Maharaj and Yashoda Mataji. So once Yashoda, Balram complained that Krishna has been eating dust, and Yashoda was mad at Krishna. So and she asked him, and he says, no mom, I haven't done it. Balram is telling you a lie. So but she didn't believe him. So she said, open your mouth. And when Krishna opened his mouth, Yashoda could see the entire cosmic manifestation in his mouth, and she could see herself also being there. She was totally bewildered. So this is the kind of situation which is very, very hard to comprehend. Then we read in the prayers of Kunti Devi. She says that you are inside of everything and you are outside. And yet, unintelligent people, they have difficulty in seeing you. They have difficulty in understanding you. The third such, conversation is taking place between Devahuti and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila. So Kapila Dev, he took birth from the womb of Devahuti. And so she is, you know, when praying to Kapil Dev, she is saying that you took, it's very hard for me to conceive that a person or a personality who has the entire cosmic manifestation within him, he took birth of my abdomen. So imagine, Krishna has everything within him, and yet he is taking birth from the abdomen from the womb of an ordinary human being. So that is such a difficult thing to comprehend. So he is inside and outside. Prabhupada gives a very nice analogy of this. To understand this is that when in a house there are pots, correct? We all see pots. When you go to kitchen, there are several pots. So it is very natural to have pots in the kitchen. But imagine a kitchen in a pot. If somebody tells you that, you know, there is a kitchen in the pot, you will say there is something wrong with this person. So this is how we, when we talk about Krishna, this is how one can get easily bewildered. When we hear about Lord Brahma's prayers, also, he says the same thing. And, you know, in one sentence, he says something like we are reading in Isha Upanishad also, that he is stationary, yet he walks, he is the fastest. Nobody can catch him like that. There's another, I heard in these prayers of Lord Brahma, those of you who may have some scientific background or have, you know, little bit knowledge about molecules and atoms, etc., it is very hard to count them. If somebody is told to count all the atoms or all the molecules available, like when it snows, if you say count all the molecules or atoms of snow, it is just not possible to do that. So this, if somebody is able to count them, let us say hypothetically, that if somebody is able to do it, still that person, still he cannot count all the characteristics of Lord Krishna. They are innumerable. They are so many that it is just not practically possible for a human being to count them. So, or even to comprehend them. So I'm just, as I'm talking, I'm just trying to think how vast it would be, how difficult it would be just to understand this. We are just a very, very tiny fraction, and we sometimes have this, you know, false ego that we are the controller, we are taking care of this, we are taking care of that. But just imagine, you know, how vast and how spread out it must be. Once I got a feeling like that. Once I was several years ago standing on a beach in California, and when you look at the ocean, then you get a feeling of, you know, that how small I am. The ocean is so vast. You have to just try it out once, you know, just maybe even if you go to Lake Michigan here and it is all quiet and you just stand there and you try to look how far the lake goes and then say, oh, it is really inconceivable, you know, how big it would be. And then I'm just standing here and we have such big, fat, false egos that, oh, you know, I am the controller and I am doing this and I am doing that. And if I am not here, the whole thing will collapse. So imagine Krishna is controlling many such universes. He is the supreme controller. So how we can comprehend him? How we can understand him? So that is the question, and that is why I consider ourselves very, very fortunate that we came in contact with devotees, we came in contact with our spiritual master, we came in contact with Srila Prabhupada through the senior Vaishnavas and our spiritual master, who has tried to explain it to us. So when we read about this, when I was reading here in Isha Upanishad, I will read out here for everybody's benefit. So it says here, under the influence of material nature, foolish and ignorant living beings who are but part and parcels of the Lord try to conjecture about the Lord's transcendental position. Sri Isha Upanishad warns of the futility of trying to establish the identity of the Lord through mental speculation. One should try to learn of the transcendence from the Lord Himself. Then in the next chapter in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says something which is the basis and the endeavor and the effort which we as devotees or aspiring devotees in Krishna consciousness is the foundation of that. Says the Lord reserves the right not to reveal Himself to anyone and everyone, but to show Himself only to those souls who surrender unto Him. Thus, for the surrendered soul, He is always within reach. Whereas, for the unsurrendered soul, He is far, far away and cannot be approached. So, Krishna Himself has provided us the means and the recipe how we can comprehend Him, how we can reach Him, how we can understand Him. And this is what is explained here in Isha Upanishad. As we go further in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll be reading similar things over there as well. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text number 9 or 11, I think, text number 11, he says that I reciprocate according to the degree of surrender. So, what does it mean? How should we understand it? So, if we totally surrender to Krishna, Krishna is going to totally reveal Himself to us. And this is, you know, sometimes when we understand scriptures and commentaries of different Vaishnavas, a question comes in our mind that how Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur or how Bhakti Vinod Thakur could understand this. Are they only just imagining certain things? Are they just speculating? Or is it truth? And because these personalities are to truly and totally surrendered personalities, so Krishna revealed to them what they are writing. So depending on our own surrender, we can expect some reciprocation from Krishna. So, and that is the only way we could make some progress in comprehending the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in today's situation, in today's Kali Yuga, what are we informed? What are the, you know, what is prescribed to us to do? How do we surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That is the question I'm going to ask you. So what do you think? How do we surrender to Krishna? We often talk, one should surrender to Krishna and so on. We read so much about it, we talk about it so much. But what do you think is the way we can make a, you know, beginning, or we can surrender to Krishna?
Follow the instructions of the spiritual master.
Yes, that is true. That is one thing. Yes, what else?
In the introduction to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, I don't remember them all, but there are six things, and one of them is accept everything that is favorable to devotional service, mm-hmm. and reject everything that is not favorable to devotional service.
Yeah, this is part of the poem, Sharanagati poems, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has also written. Yeah, he gives six angas or six limbs of surrender. These two are part of that. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Prabhu.
To give up material engagements and mental concoctions.
Okay. So how, all three are correct. But how do we do it? Associate with devotees, hear the instructions of spiritual master, and most importantly, chant the Maha Mantra. So, if we surrender to Krishna in this Kali Yuga by chanting His holy name. So, Krishna is present everywhere as we hear, just now we have been reading, Krishna is all-pervading, Krishna is there, Krishna is inside and outside. Now imagine when I was saying Krishna is smaller than the smallest. So imagine how small he could be also. When we are talking, just a little while ago we talked about the vastness of, you know, that aspect of Krishna. But imagine, you know, we say Krishna is present in our heart as super soul. And the soul itself is 1/10,000 of the tip of a hair. And Krishna is even present together with, you know, that, or the same size. It could be of the same size or even smaller than that. So this is really very, very, really inconceivable to, you know, understand that how small Krishna could be. How could it be, you know, like that? There is a story or a pastime we hear that in Dwarka, Krishna had his palaces and he had his, how many queens? 16,108 queens were there, and they all had their palaces. And the interesting thing is that Krishna would be present with each and every one of them, and they will be doing different activities. So, you know, if somebody, I don't know whether this is a bona fide pastime or not, but what I heard was that the brother of one of the queens was visiting his sister, and he was a little bit, you know, kind of not very happy that, you know, his sister has married somebody who has another 16,107 wives. How much time she would be getting from her husband? So he wanted to, you know, he visited her and he wanted to get an idea. And then when he visited different palaces, he saw Krishna was present in each palace with all, you know, each wife individually. And they were, somewhere he was eating, somewhere he was listening to the music, somewhere he was, you know, doing something else. So this is the nature of Krishna. But today, for us, if we surrender to the holy names, if we chant the Maha Mantra with a clean heart and sincerely, and follow the instructions of our spiritual master, we can at least make a beginning, we can make an attempt to understand and, you know, get some idea of the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I would like to stop here. If there are any other comments, additions, please feel free.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for class, Prabhu. So we hear that Krishna is inconceivable. Yet I guess it's kind of ironic, especially like because the philosophy is so dense, you know, he's inconceivable, but we know, we hear so much about his inconceivability, you know, the largest of the large, smallest of the small, in everything, outside of everything, you know, Chintabheda Veda, everything. So we hear all this, and it's hard not to, even though we know he's inconceivable, try to conceive it anyways. Mm-hmm. So I guess as conditioned entities, we have the desire to acquire, I guess, knowledge. But so what steps can we take to, I guess, stop trying to conceive and rationalize, I guess, like all this philosophy?
So, first of all, Krishna explains himself in Bhagavad Gita how one should approach him. And so he describes this in detail. So, and we refer to this particular verse in chapter 4, that it depends on the degree of surrender. So that is one way of, you know, that's why we discuss the surrender part, that is very important, that we take that approach. But for us, if we are following the instructions of our spiritual master and following the, you know, four regulatory principles and chanting sincerely, engaging ourselves in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, these are the ways we can, you know, try to get an idea of how we could be. We have to, there's a very interesting story, you might have heard it, but I really like that story and I would like to share that with you. There was a very learned Brahmin in a village, and he would perform his services very regularly, strictly, and so on. And there was a cobbler also in the same village. And he would sit near, under a tree, a banyan tree, and mend the shoes, repair the shoes of the villagers. So once Narad Rishi was passing through the village. Have you heard this one? So Narad Rishi was passing through the village, and he met the Brahmin first. And he said, you know, I'm going to Vaikuntha. Would you like me to get some information for you from there? So he said, oh, if you are going to Vaikuntha, I'm sure you are going to meet Lord Narayana. Just ask him that when I'm going to come back to Godhead. So he said, you don't want to know anything else? He said, no, I just want to know, you know, I've been very sincerely doing my services. I come every day for Mangal Aarti. So now I think it's time for me to go back to Godhead. So just ask him that question and I'll be eagerly waiting for you to come. So he said, okay, if you don't want anything else to know, I'm sure I can ask him that. So he moved further, and then met the cobbler. And the cobbler, he asked the same question that I'm going to Vaikuntha to meet Lord Narayana. And would you like to know when you are going to go back to Godhead? So he said, no, I'm just a cobbler, simple cobbler. I don't even know anything about him. But I would like to know from you, when you come back, that what was Lord doing when you saw him? So he said, you don't want to know when you are going to go back to Godhead? Everybody wants to know that. So he said, no, I know I have no chance. So why unnecessarily ask such a question? So Narad Rishi reached Vaikuntha, and he being a great rishi, even Lord himself used to welcome him with open heart. And when Lord saw him, he could sense that he has something going on in his mind. But before Narad could even ask the question, Lord said that, please tell the Brahmin that I was trying to pass an elephant through the eye of a needle. So, first he says, please tell the Brahmin that he will have to spend several more lifetimes before he can come back to Godhead. And tell the cobbler that he is going to come back here right after this, when he leaves his body. So he says, but how is that possible? So he says, just you tell them that I was trying to, when you saw me, I was trying to pass the elephant through the eye of a needle. So he said, but what has that got to do with when they are coming back to Godhead? He says, you just go back. When you go back, you just tell them that, and you'll understand when you talk to them. So after some time, Narad came back, and he met the Brahmin, and Brahmin was very keen to hear when he's going to go back to Godhead. So he said, Brahmin paid obeisances to Narad and immediately asked the question, so Narad Rishi, when I'm going to go back to Godhead? So Narad said, you don't want to know what Lord was doing when I was there? So he said, no, I don't want to hear all that. Just tell me when I'm going to go back to Godhead. He said, you really don't want to know? So he said, okay, if you're so keen to tell me, just tell me. But I want my question. So he says, you know, Lord was trying to pass an elephant through the eye of a needle. So he said, there must be something wrong with you. But anyway, you have said it, now please tell me when I'm going to go back to my Godhead. I'm going to go back to Godhead. And Narad Rishi said, you'll be spending several more lifetimes here on this planet before you can go back. And he was very disturbed. But Narad Rishi was still not very clear that, you know, why it is going to take him several more lifetimes, until he spoke to the cobbler. So he went to the cobbler and says, I met Lord Narayan, and I asked him when you are going to go back to Godhead. So do you want to know? He said, no, I don't want to know. Please tell me, what was the Lord doing when you saw him? So, you know, Narada said, you know, he was trying to pass an elephant through the eye of the needle. And do you think something like this is even possible? Somebody can pass the elephant through the eye of a needle? Is it possible? So the cobbler said, why not? You know, if he can pack the entire banyan tree in such a small seed, he can do everything. He can pass the elephant also through the eye of a needle. So much was the trust of, or the faith of that cobbler in Lord, that Lord could do each and everything. So we have to develop that kind of a faith in the Lord. We have to develop that kind of faith in teachings of our superiors and chant sincerely. That is the only way we can make some progress in devotional life in this Kali Yuga.
Thank you. Great answer. I have a follow-up. So you describe an essential aspect of surrender being sincere chanting. Can you describe what sincere chanting looks like?
So I can give the easy answer, but very difficult to implement, is chant without offenses. So so again, when we hear about chanting is the goal and chanting is the mean also. So number of times we hear this question that how can I chant, how can I improve my chanting, how can I chant more sincerely? This is a natural question when we hear that chanting is such an important aspect of our, you know, sadhana of Krishna consciousness, then everybody wants to know how I can improve my chanting. And we can chant better by chanting. So number of times beginners may say that, you know, I cannot chant sincerely, so I better not chant. Okay? There's a natural thought which will come to the mind of a person, because so much emphasis is given on chanting sincerely, chanting without offenses. And I say, oh, you know, the moment I pick up my chanting beats, all kind of thoughts starts coming in my mind, which is true. You know, before I start chanting, my mind is relatively clear and I'm keen to chant. But the moment I just say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, then I know immediately what all I have to do during the day, in the office, what's the problem going on, you know, I have to pay this bill, I have to pay that bill, I have to pay my taxes, you know, all those kind of things start coming in the mind. So, but it doesn't mean that we give up chanting. If we chant sincerely and we serve Vaishnavas, gradually the quality of our chanting is going to improve. So you have been, you know, associated here with the temple for some time, and you might have experienced that there are certain days when your chanting is good and on certain days it may not be so good. Okay, and then you try to see why, you know, what was so special on those days when your chanting was good. And then you will get the answer to your question. And the answer which I heard from several people when they share, is the day when they engaged in some service unto the Lord, and it could be of any kind of service. It doesn't have to be that you have done a particular type of service. There are several services which are available to us when we are in this environment. And if we perform our service, we associated with other Vaishnavas, we find that our chanting improves. And this is one thing which I think I have shared earlier also, my thoughts on this, is a very, very important aspect of staying in the temple. There are several, practically each and everything, or most of the things which we talk about, we can do even without staying in the temple. When it comes to doing the services, I can come from home and do my services. I do it every day and so on. Likewise, so one can do those things. But one thing which I cannot do if I am not staying in the temple is association. Association is one thing which you will get only when you are here. So I'm talking of physical association as well as association, you know, Vani and Vapu, both. Because, you know, by reading Srila Prabhupada books, by hearing his classes, by hearing his lectures, by hearing your spiritual master's classes, one can connect with them, one can have their presence also. But here, you are in that environment, you are directly associated with them, and it has its impact on you. So I find that the chanting, the quality of chanting improves when you are associating with Vaishnavas and you are performing your services sincerely. Thank you. Does it answer your question? Thank you. Any other thoughts, comments? Would like to share something? Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, sure. Yeah, we have time.
Maybe it's a tricky question. It's kind of a tricky one. So, I was wondering, I've wondered this a few times, and I figure I'll ask it. Like, Krishna, like as you said, he has 16,108 queens, and he associates with all of them. And simultaneously, he's a child and with Mother Yashoda and things. And I was wondering, is Krishna's eternal associates like Mother Yashoda? Is she eternally Mother Yashoda? Like she was never like born and never was like a child? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think so. I don't know that because when I'm looking at it, Krishna says that everybody existed always. Correct? But they existed in different roles. So, when he's talking to Arjun, when Arjun asked him this question about the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna started with that, and Krishna says that, you know, I gave this knowledge to the sun god several millions of years ago. Then Arjun asked him that, how come you remember what you told him so many millions of years ago? And I do not remember it because you say that I'm also eternal, I'm also present. So he says because you have a material body, you forget what I told you at that time. So I'm just trying to derive from there that Arjun may not be, the same Arjun may not be present as Arjun in each pastime. But interesting thing is that Yashoda never considered Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was the interesting part, because when I was reading about these past times, it says that the Brajvasis, they treated Krishna like an ordinary cowherd boy. Because if at any time they had realized that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all those fun in their relationship would have gone. So that is the beauty of, you know, the pastimes in Vrindavan and in Gokul. Okay. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Oh, Arakatak Prabhu wants to add something.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Does Lord Chaitanya, you know, his pastimes that he expresses here on the planet Earth, are they expressed everywhere throughout the Lord's creation?
The Leelas, the pastimes of the Lord, are going on simultaneously on different universes. Yeah. So we have been very fortunate that we are born in this era when, you know, we call it the golden age of Kali Yuga. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya came here just very recently, just 500 years ago, and you know, gave us the holy name, to chant the holy name of the Lord, and there couldn't be anything easier than this. So that's why it is called the golden age of Kali Yuga. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki.